While you're turning in your Bible this morning to the last verses of the 28th chapter of Matthew, let me just give you a real brief review, if we could. Our book that we are studying, Living Discipleship, of course, has 10 chapters in it. And you realize that we'll only be going through about portions of 5 of those chapters during our studies together. But I want to remind you this morning of the chapters that are between the one that we studied on Monday and the one that we're studying today. We studied on Monday chapter 3, Experiencing Prayer. Chapter 4 in Living Discipleship is the chapter on studying the Bible. I felt like I could skip that one chapter in the book this week because you're going to get enough in all the week's events about study of the Word of God. And so we will not cover that chapter. However, I'd like for us to look at the memory verse in that chapter and repeat that together. Now, excuse me. Well, there it is. I'm glad you know how to work one of these things. I sure don't. What's he saying? I knew I could do it. I just wanted you to participate with me in this morning. All right. Because up is good and down is bad, stand up this morning while we read the scripture together, will you? And we're going to read 3 different scriptures before you sit back down, so just stay standing as we do this. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Chapter 5 is on being the church. And our scripture for memory in chapter 5 is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Let's read that together. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And chapter 6 is a chapter on building relationships. And this chapter is a chapter that would lead into the one that we're going to study this morning on witnessing or sharing Christ, because the best kind of witnessing is that rests on relationship that has been established. And so our scripture verse for chapter 6 is from John chapter 13. Let's read this together. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. You may be seated, please. It was the last time that Jesus would speak with his disciples. And that he wished to say to them must have been very, very important. As is often the case when people are going to be separated, the things that you talk about usually take on a type of significance that is not necessarily true at other times. It's that way when you get ready to go away to college. The things that you talk with your folks about, your friends about, have a little more weight to them than they might have otherwise. It was this kind of a time for Jesus and his disciples. And even though he promised them that he was going to be with them in spirit, he was going to be gone from them for a while. And that he wanted to say to them, he must have considered to be, very, very important. And this is what he said. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." There's so much in those verses of Scripture that we could dwell on this morning, but we will not have time to do that. I simply want to point out two or three things to you in those verses of Scripture. First of all, in the original language, those verses say, "As you are going, make disciples." In other words, Jesus was saying that while we go, in whatever part of the world we go in, we are to be witnessing and making disciples of whom? All of the nations. I was touched again the other night when the missionary said that 5% of the Christian workers in the world are ministering to 95% of this world. And 95% are ministering to 5% of the world's population. Jesus said to his followers in the last conversation that he had with them before he left them, "Go, and as you are going, make disciples of every nation." All nations. Every single one. Our study this morning is about sharing Jesus Christ, about personal witnessing. Jesus said that as we go and as we disciple all nations, that we are to teach them all things that he commanded his disciples. An interesting thing was that the disciples had to know what Jesus commanded them before they could teach somebody else what Jesus had said to them. That implies that there are some things that we need to know about what Jesus commands us. Now turn with me real quickly, if you will, to the book of Acts and the first chapter of the book of Acts. This also is a passage of Scripture in which Jesus was saying to them, actually Luke is writing and repeating what Jesus said in those last conversations that he had. And look in verse 8. After Jesus had told them to wait for a while until something happened, this is what he said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." He did not say to them, "I hope that you will be my witnesses." He didn't say to them, "I want to give you an option to be my witness." He said in declarative terminology, "You shall be my witnesses, both here and between here and there and out there." And we won't go into detail on all those words of, you know, you can preach a real good sermon on it. I imagine a few sermons have been preached on this verse, don't you? You probably heard some. We are commanded by Jesus to be witnesses for him. This morning, we're going to look in the Scripture to see how and why we can be witnesses for Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles and begin to turn. I hope you can read the Scriptures that are there beside those two boxes. But in the top box there, you'll see three Scriptures. We've just looked at the first one. I'd like for you now to turn to 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, to see a second reason for witnessing. The first reason was that Jesus told us that we were to do that. The second reason in 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 to 11. Read that silently to yourself for just a moment, would you? Another reason for us to witness is so that we can express God's love to others. Do you see that in those verses? In 1 John chapter 4. Now turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. Paul has just written to the Roman church and said that whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But there's a third reason for us to witness, and that is to help others to come to know Him. Listen to this. How then shall they call upon Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? A reason for witnessing is that we are to help people to learn how to pray, to call upon the Lord. How can a person learn how to pray if that person does not believe in the Lord? And how can a person believe in the Lord if that person has not heard the gospel or heard the Word of God? And how can people hear the Word of God if they do not have someone to come to them to proclaim that Word to them? And how can someone come to proclaim if that person does not respond to the call of God to go, sent by God? You know, in the Old English, there's a difference between two words that are spelled very similarly. And they are the words to hear, H-E-A-R, and to hearken. Now, we don't use the word hearken very much in contemporary English today. I doubt there are very many of you that got up this morning, and when somebody said, "It's time for breakfast," you said, "I hearken to your word." But in the Old English, the word hearken is the active response to hearing. And this scripture says that people that need to hear the gospel, when they hear it, can come to a point to where they hearken to the gospel. H-E-A-R-K-E-N is the Old English word. In this verse of scripture, you could almost superimpose the word hearken on the word believe. How can they call upon the Lord, you see, if they have not heard of Him? How can they believe in the Lord until they hear? How can they hearken to Him if somebody does not proclaim the Word? And how can they proclaim the Word unless they listen to the Lord to be sent? The reasons for witnessing are so that we can be instruments in the hands of God to help people to do these things. Now, in your study this morning, we also want to look at how you can get ready to witness. I used to have a pastor that was always talking about getting a good ready for something. Now that may be West Texas terminology. I'm not real sure where that comes from. But do you know what it means to get a good ready? Well, I want to tell you, for me this morning, I didn't get a very good ready when I got up this morning. I told you the other day that my wife and I usually go jogging early in the morning. Well, this morning was a morning that when it came 6 o'clock and time to roll out and tie on those shoes, I just couldn't roll out. Did any of you all feel that way this morning? Some of you came in late must have felt that way, okay? You don't have to applaud yourself now for staying up all night last night, okay? I just could not get out of that bed this morning. Well, man, I just feel like somebody just didn't get me very ready today. I may look ready, but I don't feel ready. That's the way it is with witnessing. Sometimes we just stumble and fumble around, you know, with our eyes half shut when we get ready to do something about sharing the gospel. There are some things that we always ought to be prepared by for personal witnessing. The scripture teaches us some of these things. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Acts 4, 31. And it says this, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak the Word of God with boldness." Pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit and for a kind of Christian boldness that would help you. Now, I want to say something to you this morning. I hope you'll take in the spirit in which I want to say it. Boldness is not brashness. There's a difference in being bold and being brash. A person that is brash is one that even in the name of the Lord will just walk all over somebody in a witnessing situation. Boldness is that kind of inner courage and strength that all of us need when it comes time for us to talk to someone else about our Lord Jesus Christ. Always remember the difference in boldness and brashness. There's no place in witnessing for that kind of spirit that is trying to almost walk through someone to get to somebody else so you can count scalps on your belt or something like that. But you can pray for boldness. And boldness comes through the power of that spirit that lives within us and came to live within our hearts when we gave ourselves to Jesus Christ. Pray before you ever share Jesus Christ with someone else. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17 is a scripture that tells us something else about preparation for witness. You can read that, but let me just sort of paraphrase it for you, and then we'll move on because I want us to look more fully at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Corinthians 2:17 really says for us that we are supposed to treat the Word of God with respect. It says in the old translation, we are not panderers of the Word of God. We are not those that would peddle the Word of God. Have you ever met that kind of person you feel like is peddling the Word of God? The Scripture says that we're not to treat the gospel like that, but we are to treat it with sincerity. We are to treat it as having come from God. We are to treat it as being done before God. And everything that we do when we share the Lord with someone else, we must always remember that God, through His Holy Spirit, stands beside us and watches us and guides us in that experience. Treat the Word of God with respect. Now turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 through 26, and we'll look at those very briefly. What I want you to do here is I want you to read this to that neighbor that's sitting beside you. By the way, I noticed you all changed neighbors during this week. I saw one guy who's been here, and he's had 17 different girls with him in these last 4 days. If any of you girls want to know what his name is, I know what his name is. If you'll come up afterwards, I'll tell you who it is. If you're that guy, you better run for the hills. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 through 26, to see other ways to prepare for witnessing. What I'd like for you to do is to turn to your neighbor, and this morning, I'll give you a choice. You know, we've had short noses and long noses. I'll let you make a choice. Either the person with the prettiest eyes can read to the other one. That'll be fun, won't it, for some of you? Or if you just don't have that sort of a spirit today, you can just, the person with the knobbiest knees read first. Okay, go ahead.
This is God's Word. As I told you Sunday morning, we've read God's Word. Many people, over 400 people, have had a part in the reading, symbolizing our commitment to a year of Bible study, kicking off on campuses, college, university campuses throughout the United States. Our determination, our commitment to study God's Word. The people who've read have their names. I want to present this Bible this morning to Charles Rozelle, who will be retiring as our Director of Student Ministries. Mr. Rozelle was here just a moment ago. Is he still here? He had to go out for just a moment, but we'll present the Bible to him in a moment. The names are here. The Bible will be there. You'll be praying and studying God's Word that this year will be one of the greatest years in Baptist Student Union. Let's pray together. Our Father, we've read Your Word. We've not tried to show off as we've read it. But we read it because we love it. Symbolic of our commitment to the Word of God, which points us to the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Thank You for Glorieta Student Conference. Thank You for every student who's read Your Word. May we commit ourselves to be faithful in the reading and the learning and the understanding of Thy Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That was a good interlude, tying in with exactly what we're looking at. In that passage of Scripture in 2 Timothy 2 that you were reading to one another, I've jotted some words down here that will help you to remember what that passage says about preparation for witnessing. There are some things that you need to stay away from if you're going to be an effective witness for Christ. This Scripture says that you're to keep away from wickedness. There's an awful lot of ways that we are bombarded today with sin and with wickedness. Your generation of young people, as young people, probably have more of things pressing in on you than any generation that's ever lived. I'm not very old. I may look older than I am, and I'm not going to tell you how old I am. My wife and my son will tell you about that. But I'm old enough now to realize that there's a difference in your generation and other generations of college students. You have more pressing in on you day by day than any generation that's ever lived. And this Scripture has something to say to you, as well as it does to those of us that are a little bit older than you are, and that is, just practice staying away from wickedness. Don't play around with it. Don't toy around with it. Because the devil is an active, personal being who is at work every single second of every day. He does not sleep. And he is devising ways to pull you into his snare. And just flee, just stay away from wickedness. Because wickedness is progressive. It's not regressive, it's progressive. You get involved in something, it begins to take hold of you, and then you get a little further and a little further and a little further, and the first thing you know, you can't extricate yourself from it. Just stay away, the Scripture says, from wickedness if you're going to be a good witness for the Lord. Be ready. Be prepared. The second word is the word here to run. Run from the lusts of the flesh and run toward righteousness and faith and love and peace. You remember the other morning when we were talking about what it meant to believe in Christ and to receive Jesus Christ, we said one thing you do is that you repent. And the word repent means to be faced in one direction and to turn your life and to move in another direction. That's what this Scripture is also saying. If you're going to run away from wickedness, you're going to run toward righteousness. And the Christian life is a moving life. It's a dynamic life. It also has progression to it. So run from lust and from wickedness toward the right. There are some things you need to refuse, and you can just jot those down for yourself. And then there's some things that you are to be. You are to be kind. You are to be able. You are to be patient. And you are to be gently corrective with others. Preparation for witness. Why witness? Read 1 Peter 3, verses 15 through 16 sometime today, and you're going to see this same thing, because it's going to say that even the reason for witnessing is in the order that we might defend our hope that we have. Be ready to defend the hope that is within you. But how are you to do it? You're to do it with gentleness and with reverence and with a good conscience toward yourself. Sin is rebellion against God, manipulation of other people, and a depreciation of yourself. If you can defend your hope in the right way, you will be reverent to God and gracious to other people, and you will have a good conscience within yourself. Do you see how those things tie together? The counteraction to sin is this kind of Christian experience. Now, turn over with me, if you will, to Mark chapter 13. And if you have the book Living Discipleship, we're in the part of the chapter there now which is Principles Which Open Doors. And I want to just point out a few of these to you very quickly this morning. Just circle those scriptures in your book, if you would. And be sure that you look those up. Our time is a little bit short this morning, but I wanted to be sure that you saw some things that would open doors for witnessing. This part of the chapter takes place after the part of the book on living discipleship talks about Paul's prayer to the Colossians for him in his witnessing efforts. And one of the statements that Paul makes at that time is that I hope that you will pray that doors will be opened for me as I share the gospel with other people. There are some principles in witnessing that will help doors to be open when you witness. And they are these. Mark chapter 13, verse 11. A person is speaking, needs to realize that when he witnesses or she witnesses, you are speaking, you are sharing Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. What happens in a witnessing experience is not up to you. It's up to the Holy Spirit. We are called upon as witnesses to share Jesus Christ with other people in the power of the Holy Spirit and leave the results up to God. The result is not your doing. The result is in the hands of God. And one of the principles that will help to open doors for you is to relieve the anxiety in your heart about the result, because you need to realize that you are speaking in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. In Matthew chapter 5, that scripture which is there is a scripture that in which it says that we are to let our lives be lights that shine out. And if you look at that verse of scripture carefully, you'll see that it means that one of the principles that will open doors, I just use the word transparency. These are transparencies we have that put these pictures up on the screen. And there's a light which is here that shines through this focusing point here, even though I didn't know where the knob was over here to work it a while ago. Still, that light shines through this film of these different colors and puts that image on the screen. We are to be people through whom the light and the love and the word and the person of Jesus Christ shines to someone else. The light does not come from ourselves. It comes from God in Jesus Christ. And it projects through us. And one of the principles that will open doors in witnessing is for us to realize that we are to be reflective, are to be transparencies for the love of Christ to flow through us. Compassion for human need in Luke. Acts chapter 8, 26 through 38. I just wish we had another 30 minutes this morning, because this is Philip as he witnesses to the eunuch. In the book of Acts, chapter 8, doing what God tells you to do. You may not realize it, but God picked Philip up from a revival meeting and took him down on a desert road to wait for a chariot to come by with a man in the chariot. And when God spoke to Philip, Philip went without any hesitation. When God told him to run alongside that chariot and talk to that man, he did what God told him to do. When God told him how to do it, he did it that way. This passage of Scripture is simply, just write down the word obedience if you want to. Just doing what God commands. And then, of course, in John chapter 13, again that word love, the principle that will open doors. Now, quickly, that is not your kind of love, nor my kind of love. That's God's kind of love. What kind of love is God's kind of love? God's kind of love is the kind of love that will keep on loving even though while it loves, the object of its love is killing it at that time. That's what Jesus did for us. He loved those even that were killing him while he was exhibiting that kind of love. And you and I cannot engender that kind of love in our own heart. There's no way to do it. Have you ever decided sometime, I'm just going to love people. The Scripture tells me I'm supposed to love people. I'm just going to love everybody. And you just go out and you just start wallowing all over everybody, you know. I'm just going to love everybody. And you get a good smile. I call it the WMU smile. You get that WMU smile, you know. And just everybody, everything just going along. Excuse me, ladies, I'm not making fun of you, okay. I know some place where it could be called the BSU smile, too. But here we are, or it could be called the something else smile. I'm not making fun now when I say that. But, you know, just going to love, and it goes on for just about as long as you stay awake that day. And then it begins to run down, doesn't it? You know why? It's because we try to take onto ourselves the role of God in our lives, and we try to love instead of letting God love through us. God's kind of love can only be exhibited when we are channels through whom that love can flow. And God's kind of love is a kind of love that doesn't have to depend on response in order for it to stay alive. Every other kind of love depends on response in order to stay active. But not God's kind of love. Not agape love. Not the Jesus love. It keeps on loving even though the response may be to try to kill it or to put it out. If you could pray that God would help you love in that kind of way, it will open doors for you in personal witnessing. Quickly, in 2 minutes, I want to point some things out to you. What is it that we share when we go out to share? I'm trying to figure out where I put my pen here. There it is. First of all, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we go to speak, whatever else we say, we need to point out that God loves the person that we're sharing Christ with. John 3:16, that verse of Scripture that probably for you was the first verse that you ever learned as a Christian. How many of you, for you, that was the first verse of Scripture you ever learned? Look at the hands in the auditorium. This has been called the gospel in miniature, the microcosm of all that God wanted to say to His world. Is in John 3:16. Read that again today for yourselves, or if you've probably got it memorized, just say it over again several times today. A second thing in Romans 3:23 is our sinfulness. And God loves us, even though while we were yet sinners. Romans 5:8, the death of Christ. And the resurrection ought to be a part of the good news message that you share. And then, John 1:12, God's gift to us of eternal sonship, daughtership in His family. Bringing us into the family of God for every person who receives Him into their heart and believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. In your group study this morning, you are going to be looking at one of the witnessing experiences of Jesus, the one that is the most commonly used when people talk about witnessing, and that's in John chapter 4, verses 5 through 30. You're going to be studying together about Jesus' conversation with the woman at the well. And you'll pick up the cards. The group leaders will come and pick those up. And then in your personal study, you're going to be looking at the role of a personal testimony in the witnessing experience. God has given every person here who is a believer one and only one distinctive thing to share with other people. Every other thing that you would share as you witness is going to be something which is borrowed from somewhere else. It's something which you either study in God's Word and you repeat. It's something that you do or share. But the one thing which is uniquely yours and uniquely mine is your personal testimony of how Jesus Christ came into your life and what that means to you in your daily walk with Him. We've had several testimonies shared with us this week. Faye shared hers last night. Lyman Coleman yesterday. This is something that God determined a long time ago. And that was that the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and some received Him and some did not receive Him. But to those that received Him, God gave to them life. And those people all through the centuries of Christian history have been His Word, His living Word, translated through the transparency of their own lives, but incorporating the uniqueness of their own testimony in order that that might attract people not to themselves, but through themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God reflected to us, through whom that Word is reflected to other people.